is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. Farmers have been playing with the genes of crops and livestock forever. They routinely crossbreed plants and animals to promote or weed out certain characteristics in the offspring generation. But we've entered an age where scientists can remove the breeding step and alter the genes directly. Genetically modified crops are now common in the U.S., but to date, a genetically engineered animal has not yet appeared on American dinner plates. That could soon change. The Food and Drug Administration is holding hearings today on whether to approve a bioengineered salmon created by the Waltham company called Aqua Bounty Technologies. The fish is called the Aqua Advantage salmon, and it grows twice as fast as regular fish. Ron Stoddish is the president of Aqua Bounty, and he joined us earlier today from Washington, D.C., where he's been in those FDA hearings. Ron, let's talk about what I think is the most pressing issue on many people's minds, at least people who feel concerned about this, which is the safety issue. Can you talk about whether this is a fish that you're confident is safe for people to eat?
Absolutely. And the data that's been released by the center that was discussed and has been discussed over these 2 days of public meetings shows clearly that this is a very safe product that is indistinguishable from the traditional food.
Some studies have suggested that there could be a possible increase in the potential to cause allergic reactions. So for people who have any kind of seafood or fish allergy, this might increase that. What is your sense of that study?
That was discussed extensively this morning and I believe put in the proper perspective. If you're presently allergic to salmon, or to fish, you will be allergic to this salmon, Aqua Advantage. If you do not have a salmon allergy, there is no risk to any individuals consuming this fish.
I understand that there is a concern over the size of the allergy study, that some people believe it was too small. Are you planning a larger study?
No, we're not planning a study. In fact, the discussion this morning was that in the interpretation of the normal biological range and so forth, there is no logic really to require additional work in this area.
Ron, could you explain to us exactly what has been genetically modified?
It's simply the addition of a Chinook salmon growth hormone gene to an Atlantic salmon. That single gene construct allows the Atlantic to grow more rapidly, primarily in its first year of life, allowing it to reach market weights in about half the time.
How different is Aqua Advantage salmon from regular salmon?
It is virtually indistinguishable from Atlantic salmon. The only difference is a single gene construct, and the food that's produced by the Aqua Advantage salmon is indistinguishable in every measurable way from the traditional food. That's contained in the FDA conclusions of their review and in the data that's been released to the public.
Another concern is that this fish could escape into the wild and outcompete regular fish, although you say that's virtually impossible. Why?
Well, I think the committee also agreed yesterday. The review of that information and the discussion basically centers on the fact that our fish are all female. They're triploid, which means they're sterile. They're incapable of reproduction. And a condition or limitation for use will be that they will be raised in land-based contained systems. That virtually excludes any possibility of interaction with any wild population and any impact on biological diversity.
At the committee, at the FDA hearing, I understand there was testimony that some fast-growing versions of fish have already been developed and are in use in other countries. Are these fish already being sold and eaten in other parts of the world?
Well, the reference was to use of standard genetic improvement in the salmon industry, and yes, there are faster-growing fish than sort of the average fish in production. They are not Aqua Advantage fish, and Aqua Advantage fish actually grow faster than those that are produced by conventional breeding. So this is an example of using conventional selective breeding over a period of 40 or 50 years, you may get, for instance, a 10, 15, 20% improvement in a growth rate. In a single generation, using a very precise molecular-based technology, you could improve the growth rate, for instance, by 4 to 6-fold. So this technology has tremendous promise in terms of being able to improve the efficiency and productivity of a variety of food animals.
Another issue is labeling, whether these fish should be labeled as different from non-genetically modified salmon. Does your company not want a separate label?
Well, Aqua Bounty supports voluntary labeling, and we would support labeling in the event of a material difference. The analysis that's been done and the discussions that have been held today and the opinions of experts are that this Atlantic salmon, Aqua Advantage salmon, is indistinguishable to the traditional food, to the traditional Atlantic salmon. So there are no material differences. Having no material differences, the food is basically the same, and there is no distinction to be made by labeling.
You've said that the reason your company has pursued this technology is that it could help the world meet rising demand for seafood. Tell me about that. How could that meet that demand other than the way we produce fish now?
Well, first of all, the wild catch fisheries have reached their peak, and there are concerns about overfishing and depletion of stocks. That is a fact. It's not an opinion. The wild catch fisheries accounts for about 50% of the total seafood consumed around the world. Aquaculture makes up the other 50%. In fact, that percentage is growing at roughly 6 to 8% per year. So Atlantic salmon consumed in the United States are all produced by aquaculture, and they're essentially all imported from other countries. There are no wild fisheries for Atlantic salmon. The Atlantic salmon was declared an endangered species in 2000 by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife and NOAA. So the opportunity here is for aquaculture to help meet the world demand for a safe and sustainable protein. World population is growing dramatically. It doubled in the 40 years between 1960 and 2000, and it will double again by 2050. So if we're to meet the food security needs of a growing population, we have to have technologies that improve the productivity and improve the efficiency. That's not only Aqua Bounty's conclusion. That's the conclusion of the FAO, the Food and Agricultural Organization of the UN, and a variety of other international bodies.
And, Ron, these fish would be grown in inland tanks in the U.S. That would save the cost of flying them in from Chile or Norway, which is where the U.S. now gets most of its Atlantic salmon.
That's
right?
An important point. And this will allow a salmon industry to be reestablished in the United States, land-based, so that you'll have basically fresh, high-quality salmon product closer to population centers. It reduces both the transportation costs and the carbon footprint associated with transporting fish over great distances. So those are significant environmental benefits that support the use of this technology.
Will some of your fish be grown at a company facility in Panama?
That's the first site that has been approved. In the process of applying for a new animal drug approval, you have to demonstrate basically the entire life cycle of the animal. We established a facility in Panama that's been publicly disclosed by the FDA to demonstrate that this fish could be grown safely in containment and that it produces salmon of the same quality to support all of our application.
If growing the fish in inland tanks in the U.S. saves the cost of flying in fish from Chile or Norway, do you lose that advantage by having some work done in Panama because then those fish have to be flown from Panama to elsewhere?
No, of course. Once the fish is also approved in Panama, there'll be local consumption in Panama as there will be in other countries around the world that we seek and receive approval. So the concept is a simple one. The growth characteristics of this fish allow it to be produced in geographic regions which are presently not available for salmon aquaculture, and they can be grown closer to population centers, obviating the need for that transportation.
Ron, if you are able to win approval from the FDA, how soon will we see this fish on the market?
Well, again, approval timelines are difficult to predict. Once we receive approval, we will be able to sell eggs. The eggs then can be grown to market weight salmon. The time from the egg to the market weight salmon is approximately 2 years. Now, having said that, there are some fish that exist in Panama now that are approaching market weight. So depending on when the approval occurs and other regulatory issues, it could be on a limited basis somewhat shorter than that. But the practical timeline is probably 2 years post-approval.
Ron Stottish, thanks for coming on Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed talking with you.
Ron Stottish is the executive director of Aqua Bounty Technologies, which is headquartered in Waltham. He spoke to us earlier today. Since our interview with Stottish in just the past few hours, the FDA panel reviewing the fish has said the data is insufficient to determine whether the genetic modification is safe for fish and for consumers, and the FDA has delayed a vote until further study. Listeners, we're talking about the potential of genetically modified salmon hitting store shelves, and we want to know what you think about the prospect of eating bioengineered salmon. Do you think it's a sensible solution, given that world hunger exists and that so many fish species are already overfished? Or if it were on shelves, would you not eat it? Would you not buy it? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining us now is Winona Howder. She's the executive director of a consumer watchdog group called Food and Water Watch. Winona Howder, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Winona, you have had some vocal concerns about this aqua advantage fish, as it's called, as this genetically engineered salmon is called. What are your concerns about it?
Well, first, the GE salmon is different than wild salmon. There are significant differences, for instance, in vitamin B6 and the hormone IGF-1. We're very concerned because the enhanced hormonal activity that allows the fish to grow faster and whether these hormones can be passed on to consumers. The data that was supplied by Aqua Bounty showed that the GE salmon exhibited some increases in the average concentrations of this hormone, and the FDA didn't investigate this from a toxicological basis. We're concerned about allergic reactions. The Aqua Bounty study that was provided to the FDA included only a handful of fish. They used 6 to determine the potency of allergic reactions, and this is a dangerously limited set of data, especially when the small sample size shows statistically significant differences in the allergic potency of the salmon.
Winona, let me interrupt for a minute and just reiterate that although we heard from Ron Stottish, the head of Aqua Bounty Technologies earlier, he talked to us earlier today because he's now in FDA hearings and couldn't be with us on the show. That means we can't bring Ron on to address some of the specific issues you're raising. So I want to make it clear that although we heard from him, he can't talk to us right now. Winona Howder, if you oppose salmon being genetically modified, how do you suggest that we safely increase the salmon population in a way that doesn't do further harm to the environment, as some of the farm fishing now does?
Well, first of all, if we're going to have genetically engineered fish and animals, the FDA needs to develop a process for actually assessing genetically modified meat. They use a veterinary drug process to do so. And as far as the issue you raise about more fish for consumption, salmon is not the best fish to do this with. Salmon requires other fish to be fed to it to live. So it's unlikely that salmon is ever going to solve world hunger problems. We need to have some recirculating aquaculture. We agree with land-based strategies, but it needs to be a fish that doesn't require feed made from other fish, and it needs to be done sustainably.
You know, let me interrupt again. I think that I don't know that this company is looking at salmon to solve all world hunger problems. In fact, it's also developing trout and tilapia that would also have this genetic modification. And since we don't have Ron Stottish here, let me play devil's advocate for a minute. You know, he says there's a rising demand for seafood. It's a very nutritious food. There are many countries where there's a lot of malnutrition, and that this could be a really safe way to increase production of salmon and tilapia and trout, possibly, without relying on farmed fish, which can be bad for the environment, without fishing wild fish, which has become depleted. So I wonder if you feel that, is that a laudable thing to try to do?
I think that this is a smokescreen, and it's an excuse for trying to bring to market fish that grow faster and that could be more profitable. I don't think salmon or a fish that has to be fed other fish is going to be the solution. I think the real solution is to look at the types of food that can be produced in these countries locally, and that there are strategies for doing that without introducing new experimental types of food that could have serious health and environmental effects. We haven't discussed the possible problem of escapees, and having sat in the FDA meeting yesterday and having read the briefing packet, Aqua Bounty admits that 5% of the eggs will be fertile, and it's possible that if these are grown in places, the CEO says that they may be grown in the United States, although that wasn't brought forward yesterday. All of the discussion was on Panama. It's possible that there could be escapees, which are very common with net pens, and that this could devastate wild stocks.
Winona Halder, since
it could hurt the salmon population.
Again, since Ron Stottish isn't here, let me jump in because he and I discussed that very issue this morning when we spoke by phone about whether the salmon could escape. He says that, first of all, they think the pens will be safe enough that they won't, and that even if they did, these are sterile fish that couldn't reproduce. So that's how he at least addresses that issue. Let me bring in Winona Halder, a caller from Cambridge. Michael, welcome to Radio Boston, and what are your thoughts about genetically modified salmon?
Thank you guys very much for having this discussion today. This is an important discussion, and we need to be having it more often. The greatest concern that I have is that as a consumer, I want to know what I'm eating. I want to be able to choose between GMO and not GMO. I don't know if GMO will ultimately will bring food to the world that we need, but for me as a consumer, I want to be able to choose the difference. And when that information is being kept from me, it seems like something's being hidden.
Michael, as you may know, genetically modified crops are widely used in packaged foods already. Do you feel like that labeling is sufficient for you?
That's why I eat organic whenever I can.
And there actually have been allergies and toxicity problems with genetically engineered crops. Sometimes they change a gene that's moved from one type of crop to another. For instance, a protein from a bean moved to a pea did actually cause toxicity problems. So people do deserve to know, and it's very telling that the industry is talking about voluntary labeling, not federal labeling. We don't want to see this fish approved because there hasn't been a good and honest process for looking at all of the problems. There haven't been long-term studies. But at the very, very least, there should be labeling.
And on that issue, that is also one of the issues that the FDA is wrestling with. It's not only whether to approve, but of whether to label the fish as genetically engineered if it gets approved. Let me bring in another caller. This is Alex from Marlboro. Hi, Alex. And what do you think about bioengineered salmon?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just recently wanted to bring up to the audience's attention a movie that I watched called Bad Seed, which hits this point straight on the head, which is that every other country in the world does not accept non-labeled genetically modified organisms on their shelves. Every other country in the UK and throughout Europe that has these products have to be labeled, and the U.S. is the only country that accepts them in their products that are being sold in every supermarket in town without those labels. And that's why I also, like your last caller, we'll go to Whole Foods or Trader Joe's and pay for products that I know are actually food as opposed to something that's maybe not.
So if genetically modified salmon made it onto shopping store shelves and was labeled, would you buy it?
No, I would not, but at least I know that I wasn't buying it.
And why wouldn't you buy it?
I there isn't enough research that even suggests that the vegetables that are being modified are safe for us. So I don't. And this is too close to cloning a sheep for me and putting that on my plate for a meal as well.
Alex, thank you for that.
The other thing that we should mention is that a number of the people on the committee yesterday, and these are all pro-biotech people, had the same concerns that we do. For instance, some of the members talked about the undocumented culling practices of the company, and that means that ABT, the company, killed off what were deformed GE fish prior to doing a physical analysis for comparison with non-GE fish. Also, there were only four studies used for food safety-related issues. Three of them were non-peer-reviewed and done by the company. The fourth was 18 years old, were concerned that they killed the deformed fish before they looked at any analysis. And that's why some of the members of the committee agreed that there needed to be more studies.
And on that point, as I mentioned earlier, the FDA just very recently in the past few hours said it doesn't have enough data, so it's going to wait to issue any kind of recommendation until it has it. We have another caller. This is John from Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, John.
Hi.
What are your thoughts about this?
So what I'm wondering is the I'm kind of playing devil's advocate here, and just wondering about all these studies, or maybe people have been saying that genetically modified organisms are bad and they cause allergies, like this. I can't remember her name was saying, and how genetically modified fruits are bad, and I just haven't seen any real studies showing like the hormone levels are toxic to humans or cause adverse effects in humans, or that there's increased allergies. And, I mean, coming from a scientific standpoint, I mean, the science has been there for these genetically modified organisms showing whether or not they're there, whether or not they cause harm, as she's been saying, whether or not they're through the company or whatever, that's questionable. But I'm just wondering what studies have been done, or at least attempted to show the adverse effects of genetically modified.
So, John, do you feel that people's fears are unreasonable because there isn't, just as there may not be data showing safety, there also isn't data showing reason for fear?
Yeah, so I think, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. Is I think people, there's kind of a stigma that goes along with genetically modified organisms because people don't completely understand what's going on. And with a scientific background, like I know how this genetic modification works and everything. And I mean, when I just think of like hormones, I think if I'm eating something that has hormones, it's going to get digested in my stomach because my stomach acid is strong enough to get rid of those things.
Sure. Winona, in the time we have left, do you want to address that?
I'd like to address some of those studies. New England Journal of Medicine found that soybeans engineered with Brazil nut proteins caused allergic reactions, and any number of people have had allergic reactions to soy protein in different foods. One study showed high rat pup mortality in litters from mothers fed GE soy flour. Another found irregularities in the livers of animals fed a GE diet.
So, Winona Howder, there are enough...
is that the industry funds these studies. We'd like to see the federal government do some of these studies. And we'd like to see the results actually put together in a way that they could be considered through a new process by the Food and Drug Administration that wasn't designed as veterinary drugs. I mean, this is kind of outrageous.
Exactly. And Winona Howder, the FDA is calling for those studies, and hopefully we will have them soon. Thank you very much for coming on the show. Winona Howder is Executive Director of Food and Water Watch. We're about to take a break, but when we come back, we head to the Boston Public Library, where a new exhibit of old postcards offers a vintage view of early 20th century Boston and the people who visited the city. Stay with us. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.